It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with some NFL injury updates. At 2:30, why does October 26th matter? Chicken fried steak, perhaps? In a mere minutes, who might Tech be looking at for their head coach? And we also begin looking ahead to the Longhorns matchup in Waco this weekend with the Baylor Bears. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Just thinking about chicken fried steak. That just kind of stops my world a little bit.
That was something that I indulged in a lot more as a fat kid. I don't have a whole lot of chicken fried steaks now, but when I do, I realize why I used to love them back in the day.
Yeah, it is one of those items that if you could make it not bad for me for a day, I don't even need it to be good for me. If you could just make it a zero-sum game
neutral
for one day.
Make it celery.
Woo! Yeah, every once in a while.
It's that list with pizza. I would agree with that.
Yeah, I will plan for a chicken fried steak. And let's give our guy Travis a shout-out out at Hayes City Store. That is one of the best chicken fried steaks I've ever had in my
life. You told me that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I believe it based on everything else that I've eaten there.
Because there's two keys to chicken fried steak. Well, there's three. You got the quality of steak clearly is involved. But you also have to have the steak go all the way out to the edge of the breading. Because sometimes they cover up with breading and you get that inch difference. You don't want that. And then the key element then, of course, is the gravy.
Mm-hmm.
And Hayes City Store puts all those three together in just a magical way. I've never done this, but Trey, I would literally take a little bowl of their gravy home, heat it up, and eat it with a spoon. It's that good.
Now,
I haven't done that yet, but it is that good. It's gravy at that level.
We as a people always go with the creamy white gravy with chicken fried steak, correct?
That's not
one of those browner white gravy.
I've never been a brown gravy guy on chicken fried steak. I'll go brown gravy on mashed potatoes. Just did that the other day. I'll go back and forth on potatoes, but I always go cream gravy on chicken fried steak.
Makes sense on the potatoes, even though I'm always a cream gravy guy on potatoes. If I go gravy, which honestly hasn't happened in 15 plus years, but yeah, the creamy gravy is the only way to go with the chicken fried steak. I think the brown gravy would just turn it soggy.
Unless Travis or Tamara at Hayes City Store says, you got to try the brown gravy, then I will say yes, because they'll know.
Mm.
And then I'll say, all right, let's do it. Let's get after it.
Is it a requirement that chicken fried steak is served with mashed potatoes, too?
I
feel like mashed potatoes and a green vegetable is what we used to do.
We could do that.
And green beans.
You're making me too hungry. I'll get back to you at 2:30. I'll get back to you at 2:30 on that one. If you're just jumping in, NFL, we wrapped up week 7 last night, of course, with the Saints getting a win. I'd say a big win, but that was a really clunky, boring game. But it was a big win. I mean, they didn't need to lose it, and Seattle is in a bit of a tailspin right now. You also have this the story about Davante Adams kind of hanging over the Packers. He needs to get 2 negative PCR tests in 24 hours apart to be able to play Thursday. So that game is heating up to be just a weird one. No DC for Green Bay. That guy tested positive, the coach, and now Davante Adams may have tested positive or maybe just a close contact, but will he play is the biggest question of that game.
Are we sure they're going PCR test there?
Yes.
I'd honestly be a little bit surprised if it wasn't the antigen test, because the antigen test is better at determining an active infection versus the PCR test that we found over the last 20 months. Some people will still test positive from those PCR tests literally months after they've had COVID.
I read specifically it has to be PCR.
Oh, man. I think that is doing a disservice and an injustice to those vaccinated players who do get to abide by a slightly different set of rules, which I do understand. I wish they'd go with the quick antigen test, though, over the PCR test.
Trey, I think we have to be glad that the NFL has even acknowledged that COVID-19 is a real thing. The idea of asking them to be fluid when it comes to medicine, science, the latest information, I think it's just a bridge too far for them.
Well, they did set this policy back in June, and things changed pretty drastically in the 3 months afterwards, too. So,
yeah, easy on that changing stuff, okay? When they set their feet in the ground, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be lucky they had a policy to start with.
Right.
Just be lucky they even did that. We're also talking plenty of college football today. Texas Tech needs a coach. Because it's done now. Matt Wells is out. In fact, Kirby Hocutt had a meeting last night. Had like a he got together in just a random room. He had a press conference last night to talk about the situation. And Trey, when he was asked last night about specifically Art Briles and if he was a candidate. He said, I don't want to speculate on candidates. I don't want to talk about individuals today. I think that would be very divisive and problematic and not something we'd talk about at this time.
Okay.
So then, you know, then he went into, you know, what he thought was important. He's really focused, I think, on someone with a connection to the state of Texas, which we could understand, and certainly Jeff Traylor at UTSA, Sonny Dykes at SMU, and let's face it, Art Briles would all fall in that category. So, conflicting reports, Pete Thamel of Yahoo says he's hearing Briles is not expected to be in the mix, but as we heard earlier, there are those in the media that
Bruce Feldman, who is pretty big in the world of college football. Feldman. So we have a good old-fashioned source off, Chad.
Yeah, that's
can't wait
right.
to see who's right with this one.
Feldman says there's folks in the Texas Tech brass that do like the Art Briles idea. I'll just go back to my question from earlier in the show. Do we know if Hocutt's a part of that brass? When he says brass, is it Hocutt? Is it the biggest boosters? Because with these stories, Trey, I always try to go to there may be one check writer, there may be four of them. Only they know. Only Hocutt knows. When Kirby Hocutt lays down at night, he knows the person or people that he's got to keep happy. How many of those people want Art Briles? That's the question that I don't know the answer, you don't know the answer, and I think deep down maybe even Bruce Feldman and Thamel aren't going to know the answer.
So I think back to just about a year ago when Texas fans were seriously considering the possibility of Urban Meyer, and many were holding their noses and say, not a great human being, not somebody that I would normally be rooting for in life necessarily, but we're so starved to win football games consistently and be back in the national conversation with regularity, mm-hmm. that we would consider going this route because there isn't that obvious other candidate. Now, ultimately, CDC did his due diligence after Urban Meyer essentially told Texas no, and he found a guy that a lot of us feel pretty good about being that guy, that he can ultimately turn things around here in Steve Sarkisian. I think that Texas Tech has two viable candidates in front of them that aren't Art Briles, that allow them to not have to hold their nose when they make this coaching hire. And you also have to wonder if the game, the college game, is starting to pass Art Briles as well. But the other two guys are Sonny Dykes, who has the obvious familial connection with his dad being the coach there for a long time, but a guy that I think is primed for huge things in the future, either at his current school or whatever school decides to give him that upgrade.
Yeah.
It is Traylor at UTSA. He is going to be an elite-level college football coach at some point, most likely in the state of Texas. And if they are really looking for that guy who has those established connections, I think the conversation really begins with Traylor, moves to Dykes from there. And if for whatever reason one of those two guys tells you no, that's when you more strongly consider Art Briles.
That's when you have to ask that question. Maybe it's, I don't know.
They're having the conversation right now, perhaps to prime for the possibility, but right. I feel like he is not their first choice at this point in time.
So, an interesting comment I heard this morning as I'm driving in, listening to Bucky and Aaron, that surprised me a little bit. Jeff Traylor's older than Sonny Dykes. Would you have guessed that?
Yes.
I didn't really,
not by a lot,
not
maybe
by
a year or two.
Yeah, it's a couple years. It's like a 53, 51 or 54, 52 or something like that. But I wouldn't have guessed that Traylor was older.
He's been in the Texas high school coaching system for a long time and had a ton of success at, what is it, Gilmer before moving to become a part of Charlie Strong's staff here at Texas. Moves on from there, obviously, and has proven just how good a head coach he can be. In 2 years at UTSA, I mean, he has that team ranked for the first time in program history, and they are primed to win a conference, and perhaps they're just on the outside looking in of a New Year's Six Bowl if enough teams in front of them that are in that G5 can lose games. Probably won't happen, but still big credit to him for everything that they've accomplished down in San Antonio.
No doubt, no doubt. It's going to be interesting to see how that thing plays out. Obviously, Texas Tech will be staying in what will become a new Big 12 here pretty quickly. So 5 years from now, when he would get to choose, maybe, if he wanted to play Texas, Oklahoma, A&M, you know, schools like that, if he wanted to call up and ask the question or if they wanted to call him. But he'll be in, you would think, an easier conference to deal with. So who do you want at coach? What's your expectation level then? What's your expectation level in a new Big 12? Because I've always said, Trey, the guy, whoever's at Tech, I've always thought that if you could keep the win total right around that 7-9 range, go to bowl games, 7-9 wins, play around with the conference every once in a while. You didn't absolutely have to be elite in the conference to keep the job.
Mm-mm.
But what is it now? What will it be moving forward when Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC and you're bringing in Houston, UCF, BYU, Cincinnati? What does it become then for Texas Tech? What's the expectation level at that point?
I think the conference does become more winnable at that point. So the expectation is probably occasionally competing for a conference championship.
So it might be 8-10 wins a year.
And when the college football playoff expands, hopefully find your way into the college football playoff on a given year.
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to necessarily expect that year to year like they do at some place like an Alabama or Clemson, but that's a good thing for that next guy. It gives you time to build up the program and get it to a point where you can be consistent, but you get that occasional down year to reload.
Lots.
I mean, look at Clemson right now, Chad. Dabo Swinney is facing questions about his job and his curiosity about going to LSU because they're having one down year in a pure reload year for them where they lose their starting quarterback, their four-year starting running back, a slew of receivers, a bunch of guys on defense, and Clemson is down right now. They may not even qualify for a bowl game, but it just takes that one year after all the successes that he's had over the last decade for those questions to start to arise for freaking Dabo Swinney. How funny is that?
Oh, no, no. That man's got some in the bank. That guy gets this year.
Yeah, and he shouldn't. I mean, he'll most certainly get this year.
Yeah, he'll definitely get that one.
He probably gets a couple of these years. After a second straight year of this is when some legitimate questions will be asked. But even if you were to be fired by Clemson, you get a job immediately and likely at a blue blood program, too.
Clemson ain't firing him. 2 out of 3 titles, and he beat Saban both times. They ain't firing him.
No.
That is not happening.
No.
They'll have a slip year, maybe, but yeah, I think they'll be fine in Clemson, South Carolina. So, Texas Tech, by the way, we got a quick text here, Trey. It says, Shirts and Skins, my brother-in-law is a Tech grad and a huge fan. I called and I asked him the question, and he said, if he can win, hell yeah. I'm assuming it's the Art Briles question. Yes. Thank you, Carolina Sam, for that one. Says, proves your point. Right. Do you want to sell your soul for the wins, ultimately, with the Art Briles question? This week, of course, in our world, it's Texas at Baylor in Waco. Trey, quick number before we hit the break. Baylor, right now, is the number 9 team in the country running the football. 239 yards a game in rushing offense. Texas rush defense? 115.
This is a bad matchup for the Longhorns, at least based on what has transpired up to this point in the year. And Baylor is not a team that is going to hurt itself with penalties either most Saturdays.
Yeah, they feel pretty clean in watching that West Virginia was also a game where it all went their way, but that felt like a pretty clean group.
Right.
Yeah. Also, so the name to remember, everybody knows, I think, Ebner's name, but Abram Smith.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't put that kid from Abilene on the ground efficiently, Baylor's going to have a really good Saturday. That dude, 5'11", 221, he wears number 7. That has kind of become one, if not their focus back, he's right there. Ebner is not the only guy they're handing the ball to. I think Smith is the guy they're going to have to really deal with in this game.
They're talented at receiver as well. We'll go deeper into the breakdown of what Baylor looks like on both sides of the ball starting tomorrow. But, yeah, this is a matchup that I was not as concerned with at the start of the year. But this 1-2 punch that they're about to have to walk through, the Longhorns, that is, in Waco and then Ames, Iowa the week after that, game that we still don't know the start time just yet. Don't be shocked if it's 11 a.m. That could end with Texas having dropped 4 in a row. And at that point, they are, I won't say struggling to qualify for a bowl game, but they'd still be a couple wins away from qualifying for a bowl game. So that is in question at that point.
Trey, here's your comparison. Ebner's carried the ball 77 times this year. Smith, 105.
Oh, wow. Okay, I had not realized that.
He has become their back of choice, and
he's
good, too. Mm-hmm. That O-line is blocking well for him. Longhorns have got to figure out how to get number 7 on the ground for Baylor on Saturday. That game is 11 o'clock, so 7 a.m. pregame for you right here on the Horn and all across the Austin Radio Network. Coming up, why October the 26th matters to us. We'll talk some more chicken fried steak, and, well, honestly, we may just talk chicken fried steak. This is the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
More good stuff from Led Zeppelin. Misty Mountain Hop here. Again, Led Zeppelin 4. Check it out if you have not. Trey's playing some stuff that involve, of course, the great lead singer of Led Zeppelin, Robert Plant, because he's got a plant connection to tell you about. Go ahead, Trey.
Correct. New episode of Books on Pod with Dr. Cassandra Quave. Her new book is The Plant Hunter, A Scientist's Quest for Nature's Next Medicines. You can hear that chat at booksonpod.com.
I will let anybody have their number one. You can have whoever you want, but as long as you're having a conversation about the best frontman in the history of rock and roll, if you're having it without Robert Plant, you are having it wrong.
Yeah.
I don't care who your number one ends up being. I'm just saying, if he's not in your discussion, you don't understand the discussion. Because that dude is a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Just an absolute monster of what you're trying to do. Everything you're supposed to do as a front man for a rock band, that guy's a master of.
Agreed.
Unbelievable stuff. And you know, visiting those songs just reminds you. So I'm glad you went down that road today because it's just so much fun to hear some of their great stuff. All right, so a lot of football out there today, and we are actually just making ourselves hungry. We did a little tease at the beginning of the hour. Now some people have helped us out on the text line. So why don't we just get into why October the 26th matters, because chicken fried steak. Come on, let's go.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, Trey, here's the text that came in during the break. This says, you must go to Pecan Grill in San Saba.
And the hell is San Saba?
And it's out there, where is it? It's out like a west of Austin, right? West.
South, I've been south, west of Austin.
Maybe southwest of Austin south to San Saba?
West sounds maybe
double check
correct.
Me on that. Go
near
to
Bernie?
San Saba, Pecan Grill, and try their venison chicken fried steak with jalapeno cream gravy.
That's interesting.
That does sound good. That
good
sounds
call,
good.
Texter.
Someone else says Cover 3 has a great chicken fried steak. Somebody else says gotta have the white gravy on the chicken fried steak. Now, somebody else, two people have thrown in on yellow gravy. The yellow gravy they used to have at Hills Cafe was legit on chicken fried steak. It is National Chicken Fried Steak Day. And someone else, Trey, says they go chicken fried chicken over chicken fried steak. Any thoughts on that?
What's the difference?
Well, it's super healthy.
I mean, because it's chicken versus steak?
Yeah. My wife is a big fan of chicken fried chicken. She will mix it up. She'll go, I'd say she's probably about a 55-45.
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the question, what's the difference between chicken fried steak and country fried steak?
Oh, right. That's a different thing. That's a different discussion. But she'll go about 55% chicken fried steak, 45% chicken fried chicken. She likes both.
Okay. I'd probably go chicken.
And if it's good... Yeah. Both can be really good. You get the gravy part right, the breading, the size of the, you know, the meat portion, and then you brought up the sides earlier. It is important. If you're going to just go with a chicken fried steak, I do agree with you that mashed potatoes is probably the way to go.
Mashed potatoes and green beans.
Green beans is good. I could do, you know, other kind of beans. I could do corn, but that mashed potatoes does feel like the way to go. It's quality.
Mm-hmm.
That is quality. Because then you know why? More gravy. I mean, it's just another reason to have gravy.
Do we typically go with the breast for the chicken fried chicken?
I really don't know. It's a good question. Not sure. Mm. Moonshine DT?
Moonshine Downtown.
Downtown. Okay, they said that's the best they've had, chicken fried steak.
What about yours?
Moontown. That's a good one. Right now, it's Hay City, honestly.
Yeah.
Back in the day, there was a place in town called the Mason Jar, and on their menu, it said best chicken fried steak in town, so I tried it. It was damn good.
Did Eva Mays do a good chicken fried steak? I would assume so.
They didn't do chicken fried steak. They did fried ribs. You're just going to make me sad now. They did fried ribs. They did the fried pork chops, but I don't think they did chicken fried steak.
I feel like Hoover's used to have a chicken fried steak that I would enjoy.
That had to be good. My favorite cheaper chicken fried steak is out in Manor at a place called Good Luck Grill that we'll hit.
Mm.
So if you want a good chicken fried steak that's reasonably priced, you know, on a paper plate, that's my favorite of that.
Okay.
You know, if you're just looking for a good, you know, $7, $8, $9 chicken fried steak or whatever, mm-hmm. it's going to be. And then, of course, if you really are in a hurry, you go to Dairy Queen and you just order the dude because it's a chicken fried steak sandwich.
Oh.
I mean, come on. My wife orders that with a side of gravy. She says, give it to me dry, and I'll give, let me rephrase. She says, I want the sandwich dry, and then give me a side of gravy.
My goodness.
That's how she does that. That's a tasty sandwich, too.
She should go gravy on it, and then an extra side of gravy.
That's what I'd do.
Just to ramp it up.
That's what I do when I do the dude. Yeah, if you do the dude combo, you're going to need to lay down afterwards. That's heavy.
That happens with whatever the lightest thing is at Sonic. When you're doing something like that or Dairy Queen, when you're doing something like that, then it's over.
You got to be careful there. National Chicken Fried Steak Day today. Also, let's give a couple of groups some love here. Today, Trey, is National Day of the Deployed. So for anybody out there that's deployed in the military or family of those deployed, thank you for your service and your sacrifice there. Also, it is National Financial Crime Fighter Day. So for all those people out there that are fighting financial crime.
Like money launderers?
It's that, but I also feel like it's nowadays everybody's getting scammed out of stuff, right? They're trying to contact old people and get them to give up numbers and give up, you know, account information and take advantage of their naivete.
All the Nigerian princes out there.
Exactly. There are people that have to fight that stuff every day now in a digital world. So if you're out there working cybercrime, God love you. We're coming up on Christmas, and hopefully people aren't getting their accounts hacked because all y'all.
Wait a minute. You mean it was not discovered that I am owed the inheritance of royalty from some random Northern European country?
I hate to break that to you, but no, it's not real.
That's a shame.
I know. It sucks. What are you going to do? Also on the food side, it is coming up on Halloween, National Pumpkin Day.
Makes sense. We got today. A pumpkin over the weekend. We're going to be carving that up at some point in the next few days.
A dude showed up to the A&M game Saturday night wearing a pumpkin on his head. Could you wear one on your head the whole game?
It depends on how well it's washed out.
I was going to say, but that smell in there? That's gross.
Yeah, you can scrape it and wash it out pretty well to where the smell becomes negligible. That would just get too hot, though.
Yeah, y'all can have all your pumpkins. I don't like to smell. Don't like to cut into them. I don't know.
Like, I wore a top hat as part of my Ringmaster get-up at the Emancipate event on Sunday. I had to take it off, like, 15 minutes after putting it on. It was just entirely too hot.
Too much warm.
Heat was getting trapped on top of my head.
Also, Trey, I think we agree on this one. Today is National Mincemeat Day. Do you understand this idea of taking meat and putting it in a pie?
Mincing it up?
Like
chopping it up real fine? Is that what mincemeat is?
Mincemeat, yeah. But it's like, historically, it's put in pies.
Mm.
And sometimes they even do the meat and the fruit inside of the pie, and it's hot. Why would I want meat inside of a pie other than like, well, chicken pot pie is tasty. But that, you know, but as a dessert. Why would I want a dessert pie that involves meat?
Oh, this is interesting. I'm looking up the definition of mincemeat right now. It's a mixture of chopped dried fruit, distilled spirits and spices, and sometimes beef or venison.
I'm reading that it was a way back in the day for them to preserve the meat longer.
This is what it is. This is something that for whatever reason people are still consuming, even though it was a result of not having the proper ability to refrigerate and otherwise preserve foods back in old school Europe. Pies used to all be savory. None of them used to be sweet. Sweet pie became a thing here in America. There's a great book that breaks down the history of it called The Secret History of Food. I had a conversation with the author that you can check out at booksonpod.com. Before that, though, pies were like the only way that people could consume different ingredients together. And the actual pie crust wasn't even edible. It was something that you broke like a, not really a piece of glass necessarily, but you broke it into pieces and you were scooping the goop of ingredients on the inside of the pie with this broken up shell.
Ugh.
And look, there's a reason why food in the UK is not notorious, despite the fact that that part of the world has been around for so long and they have so much history. Their food isn't great for a lot of reasons, including, I think, them still adopting a lot of the old school methods or the old school foods that were around by necessity back then, and they just really haven't been evolved since.
So take about the last minute or so of the show and just throw it out of your mind. It's National Chicken Fried Steak Day. Go have a chicken fried steak with gravy and mashed potatoes. That's what you should do.
I wonder what it will take for me to eat a chicken fried steak again.
Ever?
I may never eat one again.
I got three words for you that'll make you eat a chicken fried steak.
Hey, City Store. Well, then I've got...
Come on.
I've got three more words for you after I counted them up in my head.
Uh-huh.
Bacon Jam Burger. Anytime I try and go to Hey City Store and order something else, you saw it the last time, the week at Texas OU. I had a full-on plan to get the double pork chop there. And then I saw the Bacon Jam Burger on the menu, saw someone eating one a couple of tables away, and there was no chance.
It is one of the greatest distractions on a menu I have ever encountered.
Yeah.
Now that once you've had it and really had a chance to enjoy it, it is tough to do anything else.
Yep.
It really is. That's fair. That's totally fair. Yeah, I would have to trick you into getting the chicken fried steak after the bacon jam burger. I got it. All right. That's why October the 26th matters to us. Before we get out of here, how about some stems and seeds? Couple injury notes for you from around the world of football before we get out of here on the horn. So good. Plant might be the third best thing in this song, by the way.
Man. Yeah, this is one of the few songs.
God, Jimmy Page in this song. That guitar to start, as if you needed to know he was a badass. This is one of those great flex, Led Zeppelin, broaden your range kind of songs. This is the kind of song. This is on like their third or fourth record, I think.
Led Zeppelin 3.
There you go. This is the record that Led Zeppelin basically flipped off their record company. Because after Led Zeppelin 2, the record company wanted to just stamp out that same thing over and over and over again. This is one of the songs where Led Zeppelin is saying, no, we're going to do this our way. We are Led Zeppelin, and we're going to be whatever we want to be. And you can't make us do a whole lot of love over and over and over and over again. This is one of those songs I love more the more I think about the time frame. Because this is them sticking to their guns. And
yep.
the guns are pretty impressive when you hear that guitar at the beginning and then the basic drum comes in from Bonham and then he starts going. That's so good. Bronwar Stomp, right?
That's right.
You know what, so good.
You know what Led Zeppelin 3 starts with, too? The first song on this album.
Hang on. Led Zeppelin 3 starts with Immigrant Song?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another good statement.
That's the beginning of the middle finger to the record label, that song.
It is, yeah. It was really good. I love that part of their story. Led Zeppelin 1 is an incredible record, and so is Led Zeppelin 2.
But Led Zeppelin 2, good record.
Good record, but the problem became that at some point they got the sense that the record company just wanted to grab a hold of Whole Lotta Love and never let it go.
Yeah.
You guys have to do that over and over and over again. And they said, no, we don't. We're going to do what we want to do. Get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went on to be Led Zeppelin. So that's awesome. We are doing Led Zeppelin stuff because Trey's got a plant connection for you and a podcast for you to check out.
That's right. Booksonpod.com. The book is The Plant Hunter. The author is Dr. Cassandra Quave. It is... really good conversation. You should check it out at booksonpod.com. My goodness, Led Zeppelin 4 is silly. This may be their best album.
Yeah, 4 is great. I mean, if I was going to tell somebody to listen to Led Zeppelin, if they were a big blues fan and I knew that, I might tell them to go Led Zeppelin 1 because there's a lot of cool bluesy stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
But for any just generic person where you don't know anything about their music, just like if you listen to all of Led Zeppelin 4, if you hate it all, well, then you don't need to worry about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because... you know, you'll get all of it there. You get the ultimate sort of epic that they did, Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
You get Black Dog. That starts the record, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then Rock and Roll. Black Dog's followed by Rock and Roll might be the best start to an album ever. Is that too far? Anyway.
Misty Mountain Hop is on here, Going to California.
Going to California.
Ends it with When the Levee Breaks.
Oh, dude. When the Levee Breaks? Oh. For people like me that love drums and John Bonham that much, such a great song. That's a wonderful record. You're right. That is good stuff. It's only 8 tracks, too, I think, right?
Yeah. It's a quickie.
It's a quick one. You check. Well, it's not quick. A Stairway's 19 minutes long.
When the Levee Breaks is over 7.
When the Levee Breaks takes its time, kids. That is not a radio edit. When the Levee Breaks does not have a radio edit. John Bonham is not going to give you a little and then rush it. He's taking his time.
Well, I know what I'm listening on the way home. Listening to on the way home now.
Goodness. All right. That was cool to check out some Zeppelin. You know, we get into our music here on this show. We also get into our sports, and at the end of it, we bring you stems and seeds, some extra stuff before we get out of here. Here we go.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Trey, did you hear that the well-traveled Joe Flacco is traveling again?
Oh, man, I did. Things are dire with the Jets right now, with Zach Wilson being out for at least 2 to 4 weeks.
I would have paid a little money to hear this conversation between the Jets and the Eagles. They call the Eagles back up and go, all right, man, can we get the Flacco thing back real quick? So a 6th-round conditional pick goes the other way. Joe Flacco changes shades of green and will be a Jet again. He was a Jet for like 12 minutes earlier, something like that.
Yeah, right? He was a Jet last year, I believe.
Last year too. And now Philly this year.
And he had one, did he have one really good preseason game this year for the Jets, or was that with Philly this year? Anyhow, neither here nor there. They're still going to lose a lot of football games going forward. Regardless of whoever their quarterback is, did you see James Franklin? Not only his name ending up on the short list of another high profile job, USC, reportedly one of the candidates there.
Brilliant.
Which does beget the comment of, boy, I hope his agent is making double with how many times James Franklin's name surfaces with a new job opportunity.
He's probably a Jimmy Sexton guy, if I had to guess.
So it's interesting you said that. That's why I'm bringing it up. He was with Trace Armstrong, who is Tom Herman's agent for a long time. Literally just yesterday, he switched over to Jimmy Sexton.
Aha.
And so now people are wondering if we're going to see James Franklin in the SEC before too long.
I see. That's what you do. When you want to crank it up in that world, you call Jimmy Sexton. He's the guy. He's the, you know, what's the dude in baseball? Brian, whatever his name was. What's the devil in baseball? What's that cat's name?
You got Scott.
Rosenhaus in football.
It's Scott.
Scott Boras.
Thank you.
Scott Boras, right. Scott Boras in baseball. It's Rosenhaus in football. Jimmy Sexton's the guy, if you're a college football coach, that can get you the money and the opportunity, because he is all over these guys. All right. We are getting you off the rod, and Kevin, RBKD, coming right up. Then it is your Longhorn Blitz podcast. Jeff and Rod and Matt getting you ready for Texas and Baylor. A lot of breakdown coming. Plus, you know Kevin loves his baseball. World Series Game 1. Get you a preview of that coming up. Have a great Tuesday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on a Wednesday show. See ya!